Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. From Boots to Biz Radio, sharing helpful information and practical insight about the franchise industry for the military veteran entrepreneur. Now, here's your host, Bill Williams.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to From Boots to Biz Radio. We're broadcasting from Sandy Springs, Georgia, and as usual, my wingman Kevin Finn's over here. Kevin, how's the golf game?
I'm doing good, Bill. I've been playing a lot of tennis, not as much golf, so I need to really get out there and play some. I played at Steel Canyon a couple weeks ago, and it was...
How was that?
It is a horrible golf course. There's so much fun to get out there. It's so small and like so many hard shots, but it was a lot of fun drinking some beer with some of my college buddies. So.
No, that never happens.
Not at all.
So we're good. Well, I'm glad. I got to get my – I still haven't swung a golf club this year.
Got to get the rust off.
I do. Maybe some fat too, so that would help. But I'm really excited today. We have the University of Phoenix on and talking about all the opportunities that is available for veterans through the University of Phoenix. And we have Brian Baldwin here in the studio. Brian, how are you today?
Good afternoon, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And remote from Phoenix, we have Colonel retired Garland Williams and another Williams, but another non-relation, Kevin. So, so Garland, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys doing today?
Fantastic. So let's lead off with Brian. And now you're located here in the metro Atlanta area, and you do some regional work, right? So tell us about your role with the University of Phoenix, please.
Yes, sir. We're part of the Workforce Solutions Division here. So we have a team of advisors who go out and work with the largest corporations here in Georgia. As a matter of fact, as I was walking into the building, one of our partners is right next door, Newell Rubbermaid. We also work with companies like Home Depot. The reason our department was formed is we asked ourselves, why aren't education systems looking at what companies need from skill sets, competencies from college graduates? So we figured it was high time educators figured that out. That's why we formed our division, to connect education to careers.
I know you're also headed for Hiawassee, Georgia, and some work with Shriners, right, this afternoon?
Absolutely. We're heading up there. It's the Shriners are having the big summer ceremonial, so there's going to be a poker run on the lake. There's going to be a golf tournament. There's going to be a big parade. It'll be a fun weekend up there.
Excellent. Well, that's involvement is commendable. So appreciate it. And Garland, you're out in Phoenix, and you're vice president or assistant vice president, associate. I'll screw it up. Associate vice president of the military division for the University of Phoenix. Is that correct?
That's right. I am.
And long 28 years Army career. Japan, Egypt, Bosnia, Kosovo, all the high points, all the tourist situations, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Everything looked like a tourist destination when I was there.
Yeah. So.
No, I enjoyed my time in the Army, and based on being a Corps of Engineer officer, we were able to go to a lot of great assignments, and family traveled with me, and out of 28 years, I think we were overseas as a family for 11 of those 28.
Wow.
And then, of course, I took some side trips to places like, you know, Albania and Kosovo and Bosnia. But, we enjoyed it a lot.
So, well, good. Well, thank you for your service, and we appreciate it. And tell us about the University of Phoenix and your role there, please.
Absolutely. The University of Phoenix was developed in the mid-70s by Dr. John Sperling, and the idea was to provide an educational opportunity. The first responders had a problem. Basically, they worked during the day, they had families, but they still needed to figure out how to pursue their higher education. And so what Dr. Sperling did was to provide a modality where they could go to class one night a week, concentrate on one course at a time, and they could knock out their requirements for their degree while still maintaining, you know, proficiency at their daytime job and seeing their family occasionally. And then later on down the road, when the Internet came available and online education was starting to be developed, that naturally transitioned into offering another modality they could pursue this education. And the military is a natural extension of that.
Absolutely. And so the military division has been developed to assist people serving actively, as well as veterans, right, and spouses, right?
That's right. Yeah. You know, about 10 years ago, the university realized that the military was an underserved section of the population, and we form a division that specializes in working with this type of student. Congress has been very generous in some of the financial aspects of education that they've offered to active duty and then later veterans. But we didn't do a great job of trying to model college for them and try to show them how they could pursue their higher education. Mm-hmm. So that's why we formed the division. There's a lot, you know, our students, I call them at risk, but that's not exactly a perfect name for them. But they're at risk because they come out of a family where college may have never been the norm.
Right.
Mom and dad may have never gone to school. And so they went in the military for either patriotism or for the education, or they actually went in because that's what they wanted to do. And when they got in the military, their boss said, hey, go over to the education center and see what they have. So they did that, following orders like a good soldier. But when they got to the education center, they didn't know the right questions to ask. And mm-hmm. so that's where our division helps to answer and ask those questions.
Well, that is that's a tremendous opportunity for folks. And now I know you're known as one of the most veteran-friendly or military-friendly higher education institutions in the country, right, for veterans?
We are, yeah. And again, the same thing that Dr. Sperling founded, you know, 30 years ago is still the same today. Our military veterans and active duty can go to school if they like the more traditional face-to-face classroom mm-hmm. with professors. And the way they do it is one course at a time, either 5 weeks or 6 weeks, depending on if you're undergraduate or graduate school. And you go one night a week for 3.5 hours, and that's your contact hour with your professor. Or if that doesn't work and you're okay with doing online distance education, you can do that same modality, same instructional design, but just a different way of presenting. And, you know, when you look at, you know, I have two daughters that are in their 20s. They are so comfortable with online distance education, probably a lot more comfortable than me because they grew up with it.
Yep.
They have no fear of that. So it's a great way to go to school. And, you know, our military veterans and our active duty, they're busy. I mean, they've got full-time jobs.
Yep.
And they've got to fit this in somehow. And this is a great way to do it.
Well, let's, you know, what kind of education can the you know, the military folks get from the University of Phoenix?
We have over 100 different degree programs, from associate's degrees through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral. And the way this works, if somebody was to call us and ask for information, we would talk to them and find out what their interests are, because we do have degrees from, you know, business and IT, nursing, education, healthcare, liberal arts. It's a pretty wide gamut, but we need to find out from the student what do they want to be when they grow up, if you will.
Yep.
And so when they call in, they'll talk to, if they indicate that they are military affiliated, that phone call will come to my enrollment advisors. Again, all of them are prior service, so they understand M16. They understand when you say downrange. They understand when you talk about deployment. So
speak
we get
the
past
language,
that conversation.
Yep.
They speak the language, yeah. And so we talk to the student, and we have a couple of tools that we can have the student run through to see where their interest lies. One of them is called a career interest profiler. And the idea is you may come out of the military, you may have been a welder in the military, for example,
mm-hmm.
and you may think, you know, in my civilian job, maybe that's what I want to be, but I'm not sure. Well, this tool, which is available to anybody, not just Phoenix students, takes you through a series of about 15 questions, and based on the answers to your questions, will kind of narrow down what your interest may be. You may have thought it was a welder, but maybe it comes out to be an accountant. And you said, I kind of like that. And then the second question is, all right, this says I should be an accountant. I kind of like that. All right, where can I get a job as an accountant? And so we go to the job market research tool, and you plug in accountant, and it will come up using the Bureau of Labor Statistics and say accountants are good in San Antonio, Dallas, and Washington, for example. And the guy says, cool, okay, let me go for that. Or he may say, you know, I'm coming out of the military. I moved around a lot. I really want to stabilize, say, in Phoenix. What I do is not as important as location is. So we can go to that tool, and he can say, okay, what are the key degrees that are in demand in Phoenix?
Hmm.
And then maybe it comes up with a list of five and says, you know, I'd like to be an accountant. Works for Phoenix? Okay, let me go do that major. That's kind of what the enrollment advisor does, and it walks him through that process and helps to model college. Now, we may not be the right fit. I hope we are. but he may want a degree, or his interest may lay in something like engineering, for example, that we're not a good fit.
Okay.
And so we don't want to put somebody in the wrong, program. We want to make sure that they are in the right fit. So if they say, I want to really be an aeronautical engineer, well, we don't have that.
Okay.
And we will gladly help them to find the right program.
Point them in the right direction. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
man, I wish. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, well, I was going to say, I wish I'd have, you'd have had a program like that available to me, 100 years ago. As I had about 2 years of college and then spent several years in the military, and I came out, aircraft maintenance officer in logistics. So I figured the best thing for me was to get a business degree and then go back into, the world of logistics. That made sense, but, I wasn't a very happy career for a few years until I got into technology. But I'd have benefited greatly from having a program. That's outstanding. That really helps a lot.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we were talking before we came on. I went to Auburn undergraduate. I majored in journalism. And the reason I majored in journalism is because it was not too long after Watergate, and I wanted to go find all the world bills. and I also wanted to use that to have somebody teach me how to write, because my plan was to go to law school.
Ah.
But the career changed, as I went through it, and especially as I came into the military. I went in the military to help, scholarship came me through school, and so I went in the military to pay back my scholarship, and I kind of liked it. I was an combat engineer. I liked blowing stuff up, which is odd.
That's fun. That's always fun.
But I also like the ethics that the military brought. And so, everybody may not know what their career path is at 17 or 18.
So, I kind of think, most people don't, and more people could benefit from programs to help guide them that way. So,
So anyway, as the enrollment advisor talks to them, again, they're prior service, so they know the rigors of military service, and they know, what kind of emphasis a student can put on their studies when they're deployed. If they're in a FOB, a forward operating base, as we had in Iraq and Afghanistan, they may have a lot more access and time to be able to do school. But if they're embedded in a patrol out in the middle of the community, that might not be a good time to go to school. And so, we kind of work with them to make sure that they know what they're getting into. But so they talk about it. They figure out, okay, I want to be an accountant. And we have an accountant degree and say, we got a good fit. Well, the next thing we want to look at is see, what can we take advantage of as far as previous schools you've gone to? Or what kind of military training can we look at that we can apply to your degree? We are something called a SOC school, a Service Members Opportunities Colleges School. And we work with the network to make sure that our courses are transferable. And we also try to work with the American Council on Education, who grades all military courses as far as what civilian credit that would be, and we try to put that into their degree here. And the way it may result, it might result in a lot of money savings to the potential student, because most of our bachelor's degrees are at 120 hours. Well, they may be able to transfer, say, 30 hours into it, so you may have done a quarter of it without even knowing. So we do a really good detailed transcript review. It takes about 24 hours for us to do, and then we kind of lay it out. For an accountant, you got to have 120 hours. We've got 30 already taken. Let's take a look at the next 90 and figure out your path, whether you go online or whether you go to face-to-face at a ground school.
And if they're working online, they can take one class at a time or more. Is that right? So they go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, the norm is to take one class at a time.
Okay.
But if they show a lot of academic promise and that they are being able to handle the rigors, they can get permission to take two, to double up, if you will, if they want to knock it out faster.
Okay.
But for online, again, for undergraduate courses, every 5 weeks, and you can just start into the next one the next week. You can just kind of keep on rolling because we have continuous starts. We don't have a specific spring or winter semester or summer semester. And then for ground, of course, you have to have people go to school with you to create cohorts. That we work with them, each of the ground campuses, to see if we can get a good schedule to work for you. Now, if for some reason you don't have a cohort and we can't establish a ground class, we can go back and forth to online so you can kind of continue on your path to your degree.
Okay. Wow. Very flexible, which has got to be very, very useful. Well, you mentioned ground, and we mentioned online, but, there's ads on TV and billboards I've drive by the signs on the buildings. Where is the University of Phoenix?
Yeah, really good question. Most people look at us and say, oh, that's that online university.
Yeah.
So that they only have online. Actually, we started, as I said before, as a ground university in California. And we have over 100 campuses spread across the country. We're in 36 states, and we're also in four territories, D.C., Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, and Guam. And as additional, we have two campuses overseas, in Asia and in Europe, which works under a Department of Defense contract.
Okay.
So I won't say we're everywhere, but we're a lot. And so we also have the online piece. The online piece is managed through Phoenix, hence the name, University mm-hmm. of Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you have an internet connection, you can go to school.
You can be anywhere, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the things that my division does pretty well, because we do work with soldiers that are deployed in Iraq, Afghanistan, or anywhere. As long as they have a good internet connection, they can continue school.
That's a wonderful opportunity. So now you said that you've got employees who are veterans that are helping veterans. That's one of the things we like to talk about. But do you see that there's the military folks or veterans are pursuing specific degrees or certain degrees, or are they going kind of all over the place?
Well, you mentioned that you had pursued a business degree, and it's mm-hmm. interesting because a lot of our veterans do the same thing. Either that's kind of more of a general degree that they can apply to a wide variety of careers,
mm-hmm.
or many of them, you know, they're coming out of the military, they've had people telling them what to do all their lives, now they want to strike off as an entrepreneur, and a business degree helps them to do that. You know, one thing about our students, they're not 18, you know, and they're not coming into college without any kind of life experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our average age for our student is about 32 years old. And especially the military, they're coming out with a more specific purpose of what they want to do.
Yeah.
So a lot of them, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say they've reached a state of maturity. They can bring that. They've got a clearer vision of what they want to, maybe not exactly what they want to do, but kind of the direction they want to take their lives. So much different than an 18-year-old. So
they are. Yeah, and they're not kids. I mean, I talk about them a little bit as they're my children, because they are. I mean, I really do believe that I have a need to make sure that they succeed in this, because I've spent 28 years training soldiers to go to war and in some cases taking them to war. Now we need to train them to be able to make that transition to the civilian life. So business is a big degree. IT is a huge mm-hmm. subscriber, because there's a lot of jobs out there with IT.
Mm-hmm.
Criminal justice, you know, a lot of times the military thinks, you know, maybe the only thing I can really translate from my military experience to civilian world is security. And so they look at criminal justice pretty helpfully. Education. You know, in military, if you are a leader, whether you're a squad leader or a company commander,
mm-hmm.
you spend the majority of your time training. And so to go into the education system, that's a natural transition too. So we service all that. And then, of course, nursing. We have a great shortage across the company of nurses. And what's one thing that we see for our spouses, you know, a lot of our spouses are our active duty soldiers. They are moving around.
Yep.
And nursing is a great portable career, as is teaching. So that's where we see an awful lot of demand.
That's good. Well, how about the cost? I mean, you know, you hear on the news again, you know, cost of education is going up, tuition's going up. What about the University of Phoenix? How can veterans, you know, you've got some great programs, but is it out of reach for people?
Sure. Well, first of all, let me start with active duty. Because active duty, our active duty military go to school for $250 per credit hour, which is low. I mean, that's lower than most public state schools. And the reason we put it at that point is because that is what they are allowed for tuition assistance while they're in the active military.
Okay.
And what we're trying to do is to limit the amount of out-of-cost money to them. I mean, I know you don't go to the military to make $1 million.
I seem to remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're not in there to make $1 million. If you are, then you're in a different specialty than I knew existed. So there's not a lot of discretionary income, especially for our lower enlisted. So we try to limit that as much as we possibly can. And the tuition assistance that Congress very generously gives to our active duty is a great help for them. And then as they transition to veteran status, Congress again passed a law about the new GI Bill, the post-9/11 GI Bill, and it is very, very generous. If you are 100% eligible, and each student has a different criteria about if they meet it or not, but if you're 100% eligible and you go to an in-state public school, your tuition is covered 100%. And if you go to a private university like ours, it's covered up to a certain amount. I can't remember the exact amount. It's between $18,000 and $19,000 per year. But for us, you know, that more than covers it.
Good.
And then we don't have the traditional books. Because we are scattered all over, we've created an e-resource library. So everything is online. And
I don't have to go to the bookstore and buy textbooks anymore?
in only a very small instance when those books are not created online, and that is the key book for that course, but that's in very, very rare instances. Otherwise, it's all online, and they're available through the e-library. And what's great is once you become a student, you have availability to that e-library for the rest of your life.
Wow. Yeah. That's huge. That's huge.
Yeah. And so what we try to do is to create a syllabus, if you will, where everything for that class is contained within that syllabus. So you don't have to go searching for this link. You don't have to go searching for that video. Everything is contained. So if you are in Iraq, for example, doing mm-hmm. this off the hood of your Humvee, it's there available just as if you were sitting in downtown Atlanta.
Fantastic. And so what I'm hearing is that, you know, we have active duty that gets deployed and on assignments, and we have guards, people that get deployed. But it sounds like they can work their school schedule all the way around that. Am I on target there?
You are. And usually when somebody deploys, at least how they deployed in the last 10 years, they've gotten notice. Their unit has had some notice before when they're going to deploy. And so they'll work with their academic and finance counselors, and I'll talk about the finance counselor in just a second.
Yeah, please.
But they'll work with them for their availability. And so we know that if, say, on July 1st is when their deployment date is going to be, and they think they're going to be gone 6 months, what we'll do is we'll tell them, go ahead and deploy. Go ahead and figure out what your life downrange is going to be, and send us a note. And if you have discretionary time and you want to continue, then we'll go ahead and get you set up, and we'll keep working with you. But if you get downrange and realize there's no way in the world I can go to school while doing this job, then we will put a date in your file where we think is a good time to call you back when we think you're going to redeploy back to the States or back to your home station, and you can continue. I mean, this takes a lot of time to go to school. And so we want to make sure yeah. that our adult learners can fit that in and do well. We don't want it to be haphazard, and we also don't want to set them up for failure. I don't know about how you went to school. I was very fortunate. You know, I was able to go straight to school on scholarship, and that was my job, was to go to school. But adult learners, their job is to do three things: work, take care of their family, and then the third one, unfortunately, is education. Mm-hmm. And we've got to help them fit it in there. But we can't sacrifice the quality of the education. And so we work with them to make sure that they can give the proper attention to their studies.
So I think that's very good. I remember, you know, college before the Army and then college after the Army, and it was a much different, because I was married, did have a child, and you know, plus that experience. So Brian was jumping up and down over here. He wants to talk about some of the cost savings and go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, the what's great here specifically for Georgia, and Garland and his team have done a fantastic job of working out a deal for Georgia Department of Defense. And that includes all personnel and their spouses. When you're looking at cost savings, they've put into place a 25% tuition reduction.
For the University of Phoenix.
If they go to the University of Phoenix.
Fantastic.
And then also, as Garland mentioned, all of their training, you know, we can pull their art, smarts, transcripts, et cetera. And as he mentioned, you know, if they're coming in with up to 30 college credit hours in their bachelor's degree, my goodness, what a great time to be a part of the Georgia DOD.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's really needed. I've had conversations, you know, locally fairly recently with people in the reserves and the Guard. And, you know, their lives are disrupted, and they can't, employers are turning them down because they think they're going to leave tomorrow or next week or something like that for deployment. So it's very tough on them. So this is, they can educate themselves and get around that. So excellent. So, well, now you mentioned, you said you wanted to bring up the financial part, Garland? Financial division?
Yeah. Because when you look at the total college cost, as you've seen in the news, it is not a cheap endeavor. You know, we want to mm-hmm. make sure that our potential students, our incoming students, take a look at what the cost of college is, understand it, and then we're going to help them help them and walk them through it. So the third part of the graduation team, we've had the enrollment advisor, you know, we've had the academic counselor, and now we have the financial advisor. The financial advisor is going to walk the potential student through the cost of college based on their individual circumstance. Again, say they've got 30 hours coming in and they've got 90 hours left to do on the bachelor's, and take a look at what advantages that they have. If they're an active duty student, they'll talk to them through tuition assistance and how that works. I mean, right now, the tuition assistance amount per student is $4,500 per year. And so for us, if they can spend that much time going to school, they can complete 6 courses in a year on tuition assistance before they run out of tuition assistance. And our financial counselor will walk them through that.
Okay.
If it's a veteran, and we'll take down the circumstances of the veteran, if they're eligible for the GI Bill based on whatever era they may have come in. We might have a Vietnam-era veteran coming in. We might have somebody like me that came in maybe in the late 70s or early 80s, and they're under the Montgomery GI Bill. Or they might be somebody also like me that's eligible for the 9/11 GI Bill. They all have different criteria. And as we walk through the criteria, we have a VA department that's not part of my division but is part of the university, and they will go through and figure out what are they eligible for and figure out their certificate of eligibility with the VA.
Okay.
Based on that, the financial advisor will walk them through and say, based on 1 year of schooling, if you can go to school this often, this is what it's going to cost. This is what benefits that you are eligible for. And if the benefits cover it, then the conversation kind of stops because they're good to go.
They can go, yeah.
And then, but if they're not, if for some reason it's a shortfall, we have a yellow ribbon campaign. We're a yellow ribbon partner with the VA, and that basically says if the GI Bill benefits take you up to a certain amount of tuition and you have a gap between what the GI Bill pays for and what the school costs, we will split that difference with the VA.
Yeah.
So we are a yellow ribbon school in that aspect. And then if it gets to the point where they still have a shortfall, we will talk to them about Title IV loans, Pell Grant, et cetera. But honestly, okay, that's the last piece of the conversation we want to have, because we would much rather have our students walk away from school debt-free.
Yep.
That is a big concern for our college students, and especially for our military, because of the advantages that Congress has given them. We want to be able to take advantage for them of what they can do to help pay for their education.
Most people are kind of maybe hesitant or held back. I've talked to a couple people or some folks around here that are involved with like the Perimeter College and University of North Georgia, and some of the issues what they're facing are veterans maybe not wanting to come forward. But sounds like you kind of hit that right ahead of time, and don't let it become a factor with pursuing their education.
Right. Now, one of the things that President Obama put out an executive order in April of last year, and it's going to be effective on July 1st, that says all military students must be advised by a military-trained counselor. And we were already ahead of that.
Okay.
You know, as I explained to you, we have prior service veterans that serve as our enrollment advisors, and plus we give them additional training to make sure that they understand all aspects of the educational sphere, not just what they experience themselves. So we're all in front of that. And there's also a DOD MOU that we have signed. We have become a partner with the Department of Defense.
Acronym there. Go back and explain.
Department of Defense Memorandum of Understanding.
Okay. Okay. No, that's all right. That's all right.
I thought we had a lot of acronyms when I was in military service. We have a lot more in the educational sphere. But we are a signatory with the Department of Defense to make sure that we follow the principles of excellence outlined by the president to ensure our veterans are treated well. We treat them well anyway, and it's really just sort of an affirmation of what we already were doing with our veterans.
Okay. Well, you used a word, and we kind of touched on it a minute ago. You used the word transition, and a lot of our audience, falls into that transition category. Please tell us what some of the programs you have to help young troopers coming out adjust to civilian life after coming right out of a war zone or being deployed 2 or 3 times. That is different in this time than in previous military actions.
sure. I tell you, I mean, I transitioned out of the military about 3.5 years ago, and it was one of the scarier experiences I ever had. When you're in the military, you sort of are in a little bit of a cocoon, mm-hmm. and your promotion and mm-hmm. your next job, that is all sort of centrally managed with a little bit of input with you. And when you're coming out in the civilian world, the world is your oyster, but you're trying to figure out how to slice it up so you know exactly what you can do and what you can't do. And it's hard to make those decisions. There's almost too many factors to take into account. So what we do, you know, as we figure out what their educational goal is through the process I've already outlined, and we figure out maybe this is the area that you want to create your transition career in, we also have something called Phoenix Career Services. And Brian alluded to that when he talked about the education to careers. Mm-hmm. In Phoenix Career Services, we help our military and our civilian university students, but we help them to try to write a good resume. One of the hardest things that I had was trying to figure out how to take 28 years of blowing stuff up yeah. and put it into 2 pages where corporate America wants to take a look at me.
Yep.
That's difficult, and it's difficult to take what's typically a real military type of career and the attributes and try to figure out what does corporate America want to get out of that military career to take a look.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, you know, if we can take the military career and pull out the 3 M's, which is money, men, and materiel,
mm-hmm.
how many people did you supervise, how much stuff did you have, trucks and equipment, and how much money did you either save the government or did you come under budget?
Mm-hmm.
Those 3 things, regardless if you were carrying a rifle in Iraq, those translate well to corporate America.
Absolutely.
So we're going to help you do that with our resume writing tool and a cover letter tool.
Good.
The second piece of it is, you know, being in the military, you've learned to speak military. You've been very direct. You've used yes, sir, yes, ma'am. You stand more kind of at a modified attention. You know, you made the transition. So how do we take that and create a really good presentation, a good 30-second elevator speech, a good presentation method in an interview to make that translation? So we have career coaches, and the career coaches for the military will work with them free to help set up their transition wording, I guess, that you bring into an interview.
Okay.
And then the third piece of it, okay, I'm ready. I've got my resume. I know how to speak to my resume. I'm ready to talk to some partners. Well, that's what Brian and his group are doing. They're working with our partners to find corporate America jobs that want University of Phoenix graduates. And so through our Phoenix Career Services, they have partnered. And, Brian, you're going to have to tell me how many partners you're up to now, but I think the last call was we had like 80,000 jobs on our website that people can apply for.
Wow. Yeah, 80,000 jobs.
The jobs posted in there, you know, again, are the result of – you know, several years now going to companies like AT&T and Verizon, they kind of came into the fold as one of the pilot partners for Phoenix Career Services. But since we've been working with those companies all these years, figuring out what their competencies are, what are their skill maps, then taking that, it's been plugged into curriculum. Students are coming out, and we can act as a filter system. Obviously, we can't choose the candidates for them.
Sure.
But if they have, you know, we have alumni and students, a little north of 1 million people all across the country. So a national firm like AT&T can say, hey, here's the job. We know you guys are measuring skills and competencies. Can you help us find candidates to fill these jobs? So that's how the circle closes.
Yeah. Good.
Well, and that's exactly right. I mean, a lot of companies have come out publicly and say, yeah, we want to hire X number of veterans.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chase came out and said 100,000, I think. You know, Blackstone said 50,000, but they need access, and they need a way to find these veterans. And because
yes.
we have this specific tool, we have 70,000 veteran graduates. That's how many we've had since the division has come into existence 10 years ago. That doesn't even count the doctoral students, because about 10% of our doctoral program are military. So 70,000 people out there that can help fill the skills gap that America is facing right now. And so that's a great work that Workforce Solutions is doing, is trying to marry those civilian corporations with our military. Now, we do have a little bit of a gap that we're still working on. You know, a lot of the civilian HR managers really don't understand what it means to be a veteran. And so we're going to tackle that a little bit. We're going to give them a little bit of military 101, if you will, so they know what all that means.
Yep. Now, there's a lot of misperception out there, you know, in the corporate world about veterans and their skill set, their, you know, how to apply it, their strengths, you know, and just maybe misperception about personalities and all that. So got a big education effort for the University of Phoenix to go out to corporate America and educate them.
Well, you know, I mean, when you say, oh, I was a company commander or I was a first sergeant in a company, that doesn't really say much. But when you say I led and managed, you know, in my case, 166 people when I was 26 years old, that's eye-opening. Eye-opening.
And you're responsible for everything that happened or failed to happen, as I recall that phrase.
The care and feeding, the education, you name it. Yeah, those guys were yours. And, you know, your career lived and died on how well you did that. And then for our last 10 years. I'm sorry?
And you loved it, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, this is what we do. You know, this is our family away from our family. And then our veterans of the last 10 years obviously have gone to some places that nobody needs to go.
Sure.
And they've done absolutely incredible. And so we need to figure out how to take those incredible moments and let civilian America see that, because they will do those incredible moments in the civilian America just as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They will continue to excel. So we've covered coming into school and choosing the right study direction, the right path, or study path, maybe better said. We've talked about financial aid. We've talked about being career coaches, helping prepare and job listings and corporate partners out there that have committed to hiring people coming out. So, what about the other piece of people think about college life, an alumni association? Is there a piece of that with Phoenix?
Yeah, there is. That is a new wrinkle that we have added. Years ago, Dr. Sperling said he didn't want any of his graduates to have to pay into an alumni association because he was tired of getting those letters, and you get them too, I'm sure. Please donate, become a member of the Capital Club, donate $1,000, whatever. We don't do that. What we really want to do is to have our alumni association be a connection. We have over 800,000 graduates since the University of Phoenix was established. That's a lot of people. And if you can establish that networking across the country, or actually across the world, because we've got so many international students as well, that's a great resource to take advantage of. So a couple years ago, we formed the University of Phoenix Alumni Association. We've had alumni homecoming events, if you will, in all areas. You know, when the University of Georgia has their homecoming, it's really around one weekend.
Yep.
Well, when we have a homecoming, it takes 4 months, because we do it in every location. Last year, for example, for the Atlanta homecoming, I had the great honor of coming in September. We took them out to a Braves game, and a good way to network. And one of our graduates that we like to highlight is a retired sergeant from the Air Force. He works in their version of NCIS. I can't ever remember. I think it's OSI. But anyway, he submitted his doctoral dissertation while deployed from the top of his Humvee, and then he Skyped into his classroom to do his defense.
Wow.
So I had a chance to meet him last September at the Braves game, and he said, yeah, my basic message is if I can do it, anybody can do it.
That's outstanding. That's a great story. So you pretty much cover everything, in terms of the education for someone who wants to pursue it. You know, if you've got the initiative and commitment, it's there for you.
Yeah, and the key thing, I'm going to tell you what drew me to come work here. When I came out here to interview, one of my vice presidents, this current one of my vice presidents, walked me through the graduation team, that enrollment, that academic and that finance advisor. And that team, it may not be those specific individuals because people do change jobs, but that team will stay with our students all the way to graduation. And I had a chance to go to a lot of different schools, Auburn, Duke, Community College, taught at West Point, ran a military school. I never either gave or had that kind of help to get to graduation, and our students do, and I think it's a great way to go to school.
I think you're still part of something, which is kind of an issue for people coming out of the military. You've been in the military. You're part of a greater community, part of a, at the end of the day, even though we kid around a lot, we are all part of a big organization and feel a part of it. And sounds like that translates very well to students returning into the University of Phoenix.
It's like being a marathon runner and having your support team. You know, the education is a marathon, and the support team is the grad team that will take them to graduation. And it's really interesting when we have our online graduation ceremonies like we did last weekend here in Phoenix. Sometimes that's the first time our students ever meet their advisors because it was virtual. And it's like long-lost family. It's a great feeling.
That's fantastic. Now, I just you mentioned the Alumni Association. I was having a brain flash there. There's a commercial on TV, right, that has the Red Sox and
absolutely.
People notice as they're sitting in the lobby, Red Sox. People, you know, and that's a connection. That's a very good visual one. That's great.
Yeah, well, if you ever talk to anybody about how to get a job, they say it's all in networking.
Yep.
And that's exactly what that ad brings out. It's networking through the Phoenix Alumni Association.
That's a good message. Well, we've covered a lot. Brian, have we covered everything that you thought we should? Do you want to add some comments to us?
Oh, just want to thank you again for having us on today.
Sure.
I think we've had a great conversation and learned a lot. I always learn something new when I talk to Garland, and really appreciate you having us on the show. And any way we can help our military friends, that's what we want to do.
Absolutely, Garland. Anything you'd like to add? I mean, one thing I want to is if someone's out there and they're listening to this broadcast, it's going to be on the Business Radio X website forever. So how can they get more information about the University of Phoenix?
Yeah, that's a great question, because that's how we reach potential students. They contact us first. Yeah, if they go to www.phoenix.edu, they can either respond by email and say, I'm interested in finding out more, or there's a 1-800 number that is there, and they can call the 1-800 number, and they'll be directed based on their individual circumstances. We look forward to talking with anybody that would be interested.
Okay, and is that okay? That 800 number, we'll put it on the landing page where this recording will be, along with that link to phoenix.edu. So, thank you both.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you both for being here and providing some great information for our audience. And I hope they should come to the University of Phoenix and take advantage of everything that they've got available for them. That's good. So we'd like to close by talking about our mission at From Boots to Biz Radio, which is to help to create more veteran business owners by providing information, education about choices in franchising, education, and services available. We are advocates for veteran ownership, business ownership. So please check the From Boots to Biz Radio homepage on the Business Radio X website, and you'll have access to all our programs. That is www.frombootsbizradio. Oops, wait a minute. I screwed it up, didn't I, Kevin?
Yeah, that's biz.
See, I
from
told you he'd
boots to biz.com/businessradiox.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much, and we appreciate you again being here, and good luck with the Shriners thing. And Garland, thank you. Next time you're in town, we'll have to have a cup of coffee or an adult beverage or something. So I look forward to meeting you. So we are signing off from Boots to Biz Radio. Until next week, carry on.